Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $50 at WynnBET and get $200 in free bets. Bet big and win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play fantasy on Sleeper, but now you can win cold hard cash with their over and unders game. Just head on over to Sleeper.com/SGP on your phone to join the SGPN group, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit of up to $100. That's Sleeper.com/SGP. And also, make sure to download the SGPN app. It's your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. Download the SGPN app, wherever it is you download apps.
Hi-ho, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 145. So in honor of 145, we're going to dedicate this to Ben Rothwell, who at UFC 145 did what millions of people in the world dream of doing. He knocked out Brendan Schaub. So this goes to you, Ben Rothwell. And this goes to my co-host for giving me that idea to dedicate the podcast to him. Thank you for sticking us in your ear holes once again, or maybe for the first time. If it's for the first time, welcome. If it's if we're all always in your ear holes, welcome also. I would be your one of the hosts of this year podcast. A man who nicknames change as often as the weather. This week I am going to go by, what am I going to go by this week? One second, everyone, just hold tight, okay?
You could be the apocalypse.
I was going to think the apocalypse. No, I'm going to be the Welsh gangster. Jeff Fox. I've never been to Wales, but I'm the Welsh gangster. Thank you for coming to the podcast. This is one of our famous patented no UFC, no problem podcast, because there is no UFC this coming week, or this week actually that we're in, this coming weekend. I meant there's no PFL, there's no Bellator, there's no Invicta. I even think the biggest promotion in the world, ONE FC, is dark this weekend. But like I said, no UFC, no problem, because we still have picks for you degens. There's plenty of events going on this weekend. And oh, there is one. No, sorry, one championship. Yes, one. No one championship next week either. So anyhow, we got picks for you degens. And who knows what other nonsense we'll get into. Let's bring in my co-conspirator here in the nonsense. He would be the one, the only, one nickname only, Gumby Vreeland. It doesn't change.
So when you asked me to come up with somebody to dedicate this episode to, I decided to look for baseball players who had 145 homers or 145 wins. Nobody real noticeable. Nobody that I thought was even like funny to dedicate an episode to. But I will tell you that there's a baseball player with 145 wins whose name is Pretzels Getzian. Which is,
oh wow, that's an 1800s name, or it's, yeah, 1900s name, excuse me.
Yeah, 1886 he was playing there ball. You go. Yep. Yeah, he won the 1886 World Series League Championship for the Detroit Wolverines, which is also a sick team name.
Very nice.
Yeah so you know, shout out to Pretzels Getzian while we're at it too, who had 145 wins.
But this is not a Pretzel Getzian podcast, nor it could be. It should be. Nor a Detroit Wolverines podcast. But maybe it could be this week. I said off the top, we have picks for you regardless. There's plenty of MMA to go down, and we even have lines for these fights. Even though the Welsh gangster, I forgot to write down his line. Now that I look at his name, I'm going to have to put a line down for him. Let me think. Any news or notes we should get into? Oh, did you hear the big news, Dan? Holly Holm got robbed.
It's all over the interwebs.
She got robbed. Even John McCarthy says she got robbed.
I saw some people echo the same thing that I said on the last show, which is like, I get why they think she was robbed and even why she thinks she was robbed. She's won fights precisely that way before, right? Like she basically went out and mimicked her performance against Raquel Pennington, only this time didn't get the decision. But like, first of all, under no circumstance was it a robbery. Like, on watch, I scored it for Ketlin Vieta, even though I had Holly Holm as a pick. And if the judge had given it to Holly Holm, I'd been fine with it. Like, it was close enough, right? Like, it was 1-5 for Holm, 2-4 for Vieta, and like 3 is being the toss-up round. Like, and all the judges had that. So, like, yeah, like, it's not a robbery either way. But do you know who my favorite take on this, that fucking fight was? Daniel Cormier, who said either the judges are robbing him or we have no idea how to score these fights. And I was just like, dude, you are fucking almost right there.
Yes, he does not have any idea how to score the fights. That's exactly the point. And most people don't. Apparently Big John McCarthy doesn't either, because his credibility continues to go into the bin, as he was one of the headlines I saw saying that he said it was a robbery. A close fight does not equal robbery. And people think open scoring is going to fix this, but how about reading the rule book and learning actually what's scored in a fight? Not defense, Rose Namajunas. Defense doesn't get you points. And no, Holly Holm, octagon, that's the word, octagon control does not get you points unless like barely anything else happens in that round. Just read the scoring criteria, and then you can talk about robberies.
Yeah, well, and I would also say this too, like, obviously open scoring is like the hot topic for the week, right? Like, everybody's right. Put out a take on it. I'll say this, I think open scoring would help a lot of things, right? Like, in this case, Holly Holm would have gone into that last round knowing that two judges already had her in the bag and she needed to finish. She also would have gone into the fourth round knowing she was down 2-1 and needed to win the last two rounds in order to win it. Maybe it makes her put her foot on the gas and not try the same exact tactic that had lost her two rounds in a row. So, like, that would be good. In the same token, I think there would be tons of things that would be bad. You'd see more stalling in the third round of dudes who are up 2-0. You would see less people, like, quote unquote, going for it in that last round. You would see people still, not wildly understanding the criteria. But like, the bottom line is it would be different with open scoring. If you want it to be different, if you don't want it to be different, that's your take on open scoring. But the bottom line is it doesn't solve the shit we're talking about. It doesn't solve if you think there are bad judges, and sometimes there are bad judges, right? Like, there's some judges who get scorecards wrong. It doesn't solve that. It doesn't solve commentators not knowing what the criteria is. It doesn't solve fighters not knowing what the criteria is. It doesn't solve any of those things. So, like, we're looking at all of these problems and we're also throwing out a solution that has nothing to do with the problems and won't fix them. So, like, yes. I don't know how open scoring became, except for the fact that fucking Ariel Helwani keeps talking about it as if it's the solving point for this. But like, other than that, I don't know why it keeps coming up every time there's a bad decision, because it like doesn't solve a bad decision.
Exactly. And it wasn't a bad decision anyhow. That's the thing. I know we complain about decisions all the time here, but that's because we lose picks on it or bets on it. But there's rarely, rarely bad decisions. It happens, but more often than not, if you're following the rules of the law in the rule book, there isn't really too many bad decisions. Obviously, there are some, they do happen. And usually they screw us over on our picks. But nonetheless, yeah, open scoring is, this is all like, you're assuming a fighter is going to drastically change the way they're fighting if they think they're losing. But if they don't realize they're losing, they probably don't realize why they're losing and what they need to change anyhow. So if Holly Holm didn't think she was in a close fight and she could take her foot off the gas 10 and end of that fight, then I don't think open scoring is going to help her either, because like, she should have known it was a close fight and she could very easily have been losing it.
Yeah, well, and I would also say this, if she thinks she's winning the fight with that cage control, which she even said, like, in the post-fight interview, if you heard it, she said, you know, yes, I really thought I controlled her enough. And, like, if that's the case, and she thought she was winning the fights that way, would she just have done more of that horseshit?
Probably.
You know what I mean? Like, she probably yep. would have come out in the fourth and fifth round and just done more pressing her against the cage, which ultimately would have cost her more rounds, right? Like that would have been a thing yeah. that actually probably would have cost her the fifth round. She would have lost 4-1 instead of 3-2.
Yep, exactly. So anyhow, all fighters and everyone who commentates on the sport, especially if you work for the actual UFC and you're an official commentator, maybe you should sit down with the tiny rule book that's not even very big and read it. Spencer Kite just did a podcast on his Keyboard Kimura Substack with Shawnee Sheehan, and they basically, you know, broke down the rules and went through it quickly. It's really not very hard to figure out.
If you also like, I can't stress this enough, it was like one of the things that like encouraged me to go back and reread the criteria, the newer criteria that had come out, because I think I read the old one like a long time ago. Plus, like, I think I took for granted all of the times that the UFC tells you the scoring criteria in the beginning, which is a fucking wildly oversimplified version of it. But like, I heard the Sean Sheehan interview with Ben Cartilage. British judge. And it was like, it is the best way of hearing an explanation of like how judges score it. I don't remember if that was part of Severe or if that, I don't remember how that came out, but like, if you guys can get in ears to that, if you're really interested in like, why do my people keep losing these fights? I think they're winning. That was like very formative for me in understanding the criteria a lot better than I used to.
Yep. There you go. I didn't want to make this a huge thing on it, but like you said, people are talking about open scoring, like it doesn't solve your issue thinking the wrong person won the fight. That has nothing to do with what people are complaining about, thinking that someone else won the fight. Open scoring, it's not going to change that. You're just going to know as it's happening that the person you think isn't winning is actually winning the fight.
Yeah. Can I throw one, you know, I know you said you don't want to talk about this for too long, but
we have time. Nikhil, go right ahead.
I gotta bring this up. Did you see, was it Greg Jackson's take or was it Mike Winklejohn? I can't even remember.
It was Winklejohn, I think. I saw a Winklejohn headline. I can't remember what it was, though.
So first of all, Winklejohn is like nauseating. I can't stand that guy. But in addition to that, he said that judges need to be held accountable. Do you, in all honesty, in all of your memory, if you can go back and think of like, what was the worst robbery in the history of MMA? Most people, at least most like people with like a very good grasp of MMA, always respond with Diego Sanchez beating Ross Pearson after Diego Sanchez. Yeah, he took an absolute beat down and Jackson Wink was the beneficiary there. Like,
exactly.
It's crazy that dude is like complaining about judges' decisions when, and I mean, like, if you think of all of the like very close judges' decisions that went John Jones's way, right at the end of his title reign at light heavyweight too, like, dude, you're really going to go there? And don't get me wrong. I scored most of those, if not all of those for John Jones anyway, but like, you're really going to go there that you like think this one was as one-sided as any of the ones that have gone your way?
Yep, I know. Sour grapes, but anyhow, I'm just tired of seeing it all. So hopefully everyone listens to what we said and or listen to that podcast I mentioned earlier with Spencer and Sean, and then everyone will know the truth, right? And then we won't hear anybody else complaining Especially
yeah, that's always how it works, right? Also, I'll say this about Big John, too. He's the one who came out and was like, it was bullshit that Aljamain Sterling beat Piotr Jan, right? Like, it's headlines all over, like, 80 different MMA media outlets. Recently, he said he went and watched it and gets why it was scored for Aljo. And I was like, why do you give us a sensationalist headline then first?
Because that's what, like, he is now.
Yeah, he's the Shale Sonnen of fucking former MMA referees.
Yep, he is. But this isn't a Big John McCarthy podcast, is it?
Thank God.
Imagine that. Ugh. Anyhow, we got picks for you. Any other news? That's basically all I've seen is all this.
Ricky Tercios is about to fight again.
He is fighting against, the very nice Canadian Amon Zahabi, friend of your podcast, your other podcast, friend of mine on Twitter.
Yeah.
That's who he's fighting, right?
I love Ayman Zahabi. He's a lot of fun to watch. And I've regularly said he's super underrated. So him and Ricky Tercios is actually a super fun bantamweight fight, which is, every bantamweight fight is a super fun bantamweight fight, but this one is especially fun.
Yep. It should be a good one. When's that happening? Summer?
July, early July.
Okay, cool. I wish Zahabi would be more active. He doesn't fight very often.
Now, I think it's because I think he has like a job with his brother in his brother's gym.
Yeah.
So like, you can afford to take a few less fights if your brother owns one of the like largest gyms in North America.
Yep. Very true. I have some good jokes, but I'm just going to leave them there. Don't want to say anything controversial here now.
I was wondering if you were going to go there.
Oh, I wanted to, but no, I won't. Instead, I'm going to tell you about WynnBET. This is nothing controversial here. Make sure to get down on the wins. Bet $50 win, $200 promotion, where a $50 bet qualifies you, I'm talking to you people whose ear holes I'm in right now, for up to $200 in free bets. Plus, the WynnBET casino is offering 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. All users can receive a $20 free bet when they win, lose, or push a 3-plus leg build-your-own-bet parlay between Thursday to Saturday. Players can take advantage of the offer on the NBA playoffs, but the NBA is stupid, so don't do that. The match is coming to the win. The match. I had to look up what that is. You know what the match is, Dan? Capital T, capital M.
Is it a golf match?
It is.
Yeah,
I had to look it up, but it is.
Because I figured, because that's what they called it when Tiger and Phil threw down. Who is it this time, out of curiosity? Okay,
it's coming to win. You can bet on it at WynnBET. Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, -200. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, +165.
All right.
They're American football gentlemen that throw the ball around, right?
That's my understanding as well. Yes.
All right. So you can bet on that. And that's there are your odds. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is download the WynnBET app or visit WynnBET.com to get started. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where play through WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Now on to Sleeper. Sleeper is the fastest growing fantasy platform today with millions of players. You probably already have a fantasy league on there. All the SGPN guys do. It's a game-changing product unlike anything else in the industry. And now you can make money on Sleeper 2 by playing their new over-under game. It's super simple. First, in any sport, choose two or more players that you like and pick the over-under. For example, a number of points in basketball or hits in baseball. Then choose the amount of money you want to enter into the contest. If you pick correctly, you can win anywhere from 2 times to over 20 times the money you put in. 20 times is a Hungry John parlay right there. The main reason I'm excited about Over Under on Sleeper is that it's the only app where I can join my buddies' contest and play together. It's got a built-in group chat where I can see and copy my friends' picks with the tap of a button. It's insanely fun to ride it out together. Stop what you're doing and download Sleeper now to play their new Over Under game. Have fun with your friends and make some money, and Dan's going to give you some winning picks right now.
Yo, by the way, last time...
How were your picks? I was going to ask you. I haven't been tracking these picks.
I'm not 100% sure, because I said the over on Luis Severino's K's, and I know he finished with 5 or 6, but I didn't look up what the number was ahead of time, so I can't definitively tell you I got that one right. But I can definitively tell you that I had the over on Tim Anderson hits. I said he'd be pissed off after the Josh Donaldson bullshit that went down, and he had a homer and 2 other hits. I think he had a single, a double, and a homer. He's just a triple short of the cycle. So that was we were all over that one. So I at least gave you 1 out of 2, possibly 2 out of 2. This one, I'll give you picks for Monday's Braves Phillies game. I'm gonna take the over on strikeouts for Charlie Morton. He's got 19 in his last 3 games combined, so he is red hot right now. and he's finally pitching like he's supposed to. The Phillies don't strike out a ton, but they do strike out, a little bit. They're like fly ball hitters. So, I'll take that, and we'll stay in the same game. I'll take over on the Ronald Acuna hits because he's having another hell of a game literally while we're recording.
I bet you fans out there can guess what Dan's favorite team, baseball team is. And SGPN's Ryan Gilbert also was in on that, Tim Anderson hit prop on the player props he wrote for the sportsgamblingpodcast.com on the weekend. So you guys were both in on that, and good to hear that it both hit. Good job.
Yeah, we know our stuff. It's almost like I know things about other sports other than MMA.
It's amazing. All right. So we give you your sleeper place, and here's what you got to do now. On your mobile phone, join our listener group on Sleeper at sleeper.com/SGP, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's right. Join our squad and get the 100% deposit match at sleeper.com/SGP. All righty. Dan has some picks for us, ladies and gentlemen. I have some info on these picks. So there are quite a few, I want to call them regional, but a couple of them are big, big European promotions. The other one we're doing is a regional US one. How did you pick which events we should cover this week? And I guess they're the only real big ones going on this weekend, right?
So there are quite a few big ones going on this weekend, including some I overlooked. So for those of you who are just looking to enjoy MMA this weekend, I really do enjoy the Unified MMA 45 card, which is a Canadian promotion out of Alberta. But like they've got a really fun card going on. I actually interviewed two of the fighters who are going to be fighting on that card, who are both like really, really, really good prospects, but they've also got some guys who you might like recognize from like World Series of Fighting back in the day, like way back in the day, back when it was World Series of Fighting. Like, I don't know. Do you know the name Ryan Ford? He fought Jake Shields in like
Jake Shields.
Yeah, and Jake Shields. He also
he's one of those guys with interesting. He has interesting thoughts on things about Jake Shields.
He does have interesting thoughts. Ryan Ford, anyway, fought him in like Carl Parisian and stuff back in the day. He's like a fun dude.
I know the name.
Yeah, and they've got some other fun fights going on. And then Ellie Aronoff is fighting Mariusz I'm gonna say this dude's name wrong. It's Mariusz Shishkevich, which is one of the more wild names, but you might remember him from the Contender Series last year where he like lost a very close decision. Now he's 10-1 and fighting a guy who's 5-0, and it's a pretty damn good fight there too. So if you're just looking to enjoy MMA, Unified MMA 45, he's got a really good card going on, but I couldn't find any odds for it, so that was kind of a bummer. Cage Warriors is always a must watch. But the only thing I will say is Cage Warriors has got a Friday and a Saturday card this week. I was looking at the Friday card. The Friday card just feels like the prelims of the Saturday card.
I was going to say, is it watered down because they're doing two again?
But here's the thing is that sometimes they have like, if they've got five bangers, they put three on Saturday and two on Friday and then just fill the rest of the card with like some, lower tier fights. It feels like they had like four bangers this time and they're like, let's just put them all on Saturday. Which is kind of a weird move. And then like I saw odds for KSW. I don't love these fights for KSW, but it feels they're like a pretty big promotion. They're worth talking about. Yeah. But I do really love the flyweight title fight in CFFC. So I wanted to talk about that too, even though the CFFC card doesn't have a lot of depth either. There is at least one good fight. And then I overlooked a couple others that I like the fight itself, but at the same time, the odds were like -600. So there's nothing interesting to say.
Nope, that is true. Speaking of going back to Unified MMA, it is on Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern, UFC Fight Pass, if you want to catch that event. All right. The ones we are going to cover, let's start off with CFFC 109. Friday, 7 p.m., UFC Fight Pass is going down from the Cheltenham Township, Pennsylvania. Have you ever been there, Dan? It's technically Philadelphia, so never mind.
I've been not that far from there a wedding that I went to recently.
Well, there
and
you
by
go.
Recently, right. And by recently, I mean like 6 years ago.
Yeah. All my memories from like 6 years ago or whatever, I'm wearing masks in all of them. Is that happening to you also? When I think back to things, everyone has a mask in all my memories. So
that does feel like 6 years ago, but it is only two. Yep.
I know. All right. CFFC, we're going to do the main event flyweight title fight. There's six fights on the card, but we're just going to hit you off with the main event. It's interim. Do you know why it's an interim flyweight championship? What's wrong with the real champion?
So I have a feeling. I have a feeling Fumi Kuta is going to be signed by the UFC or be on the Contender Series. Okay. Like I am a big fan of the actual, you know, sometimes you guys might know him as Turbo. They sometimes just call him Turbo, but his name is Fumin Kuta. He's a excellent prospect out of the Longo Weidman gym. And he's like, he's been booked with a couple of these guys already. I actually think he's definitely booked to fight Curatolo, but he also may have been booked to fight, his opponent, whose name is Paiva as well. But I know for a fact he was booked to fight Curatolo. So, like, I'm pretty sure he's just going to get signed because he's the champ. He's defended once. He's 5-0. He's a very exciting prospect from a gym that the UFC already loves. So, like, it seems like he's just ripe for the picking.
Yeah, you don't usually see champions on or current champions on the Contender Series. Have we ever seen a current champion on Contender Series? I can't think of any off the top of my head.
I think so. I'm pretty sure we've seen CFFC people, right? Like, because it was Jasmine Jesuda Vicious the CFFC champ? She might have been, or she might have lost to Elise Reed, who we just recently saw by a bullshit decision that she didn't actually lose.
We just talked about how there's no such thing as bad decisions, Nan, and now. Here you go again.
No, that one was a bad one. Yeah, I can confirm that was a bad one. I watched it live, and I really like Jasmine Jesuda Vicious as a prospect, and then I was really bummed by that decision. Anyway, this isn't a Jasmine Jesuda Vicious podcast.
No, it could be, though. She is Canadian. So there you go. All right, main event, Santo Curatolo versus Hugo Paiva, and as I said, it's for the interim. Probably eventually going to be the real flyweight championship of CFFC, Cage Fury FC. All right, I'll break her down for you. Do Paiva first. Pequeno, Pequeno is his nickname. Dan's going to tell us what that means because he knows every language.
It means little, small, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Yeah, it means short, I think is what Google says, but I'll go with yours. So, which fits because he is a flyweight. He is 5-0, 3 knockouts, 1 submission. This is his debut in CFFC. He's won 2 straight fights via finish. He was the I have a TF champion. What's TF, Dan? Do you know what TF is?
Thunder Fight.
You do know.
Yeah, Thunder Fight is a good name. It's a pretty well-known promotion out of Sao Paulo.
Very good name. So anyhow, he was the champ there. He used to fight at bantamweight. He's 2 years younger than Curatolo, 2 inches taller, 6 inches of reach, which is pretty huge when you're talking about flyweights. Plus 110. Curatolo 6-2, 5 knockouts, 1 submission. So he's finished every one of his wins. He's been knocked out once. 6-1 in CFFC, 0-1 on the Contender Series. He's gone loss, win, loss over his last 3, minus 140. Break it down.
So I'm going to go with Curatolo here. You know, you mentioned he lost on the Contender Series. He did lose to Clayton Rodriguez, who granted just lost to CJ Vergara in his UFC debut, but like looked pretty damn good doing it. And I'll say this about Curatolo, like, first of all, he went the distance, and I think he fights extra safe and technical, and I think ultimately it probably cost him against Clayton Rodriguez. But if you look at somebody like Paiva, in most of Paiva's fights, my biggest issue with him is it looks like he just like tries to get in really close and use too much muscle to finish takedowns or to hold people down. It looks like he's trying to ragdoll everybody. And with somebody who is as technical as Curatolo, I just like don't see that working in the first place. And, you know, flyweights don't necessarily tire out, but you could see him get outworked that way. And also, I just think he's going to like waste time doing things he shouldn't be doing, which is trying to like body up Curatolo. So, you know, I don't like that about Paiva in the first place. And then the fact that Curatolo is particularly safe and particularly technical and like very good at all those things, like I just kind of lean his way in that factor. And I will also say this. He's got great finishing ability. Like, you know, you mentioned
every fight.
Yeah, the fact that he's got all finishes is crazy. And a lot of them are, like, hard knockouts. Like, I don't know if you've seen. He actually was, like, viral for a little while. I think it's probably one of the things that helped him get to the contender series is, like, he had this viral head kick knockout in his, like, second or third fight in his pro career that, like, got overplayed over and over and over again. He threw a head kick, and the dude just wilted. And, like, he's got great power. So, like, even if he's not particularly safe and Paiva does drag him into this, like, I think he's going to be the better fighter. And also, I'll say this, too. You know, like, if Paiva is a guy who has a bunch of reach, fighting in close range doesn't make any sense for him. And I think he's going to try to do it anyway.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Do you like the line?
You know, I actually thought the line was going to favor Paiva a little better because, like, as you mentioned, Curtolo is coming off of a couple of losses out of his last three. Yep. And Paiva is an undefeated Brazilian, which always, you know, like, looks good on regional cards. But I'll say this, like, I think probably some of the, like, the hype and, like, what you see on the resume factored in for Paiva. And then, like, the actual talent level of Curtolo pretty much even that line out, right? Like, because it's pretty much a pickup. So I think they probably got the line right about correct. But, you know, like, again, I'm always going with the actual skill over, like, the hype and the resume and what you can glean off of Tapology.
We don't believe the hype around these parts. So there you go. Curatolo will be a champion come Saturday. Anyone else?
Interim champion.
Interim champion, yes. Anyone else worthy of keeping an eye on this card?
Yeah, Manuel Souza is really fucking good. Like, he's really exciting to watch and really good. I contemplated throwing his fight on here, but he's a -700 favorite. But, like, he's in the co-main event. He's 8-0. He's gonna be good. So, like, keep an eye on him. Yep.
All right, there you go. All right, did you know it's Sweaty Sack Summer is approaching, Dan?
I did not. No, it's good thing you told me.
Yeah, and it's time for you to prioritize the comfort of your crotch, Dan. That's why the kings of crotch comfort, Manscaped, have spent 2 years designing the most comfortable boxer briefs out there. I've had the honor of testing out these new boxers, and I can say it's the softest fabric of any underwear. So breathable that it's like gills for your groin. They even trademarked the jewel pouch, so you know it's serious. I think it's time you invest in your family jewels. So let your bulge breathe and get 20% off and free shipping by using code SGP at manscaped.com. Let's say you're on a date. We don't go on dates anymore, though, Dan. We're married men. And we don't go on dates because we have insane children. Maybe you go on dates. I don't go on dates because I have insane children. Let's say that you're on a date and your partner catches the Manscaped trademark on the waistband of your underwear. It's almost guaranteed to raise some eyebrows and act like a billboard on the highway to Pleasure Town. Have you ever been to Pleasure Town, Dan? Or the highway that goes there?
I believe I have, but, you know.
Okay. TMI, as the kids say. This is thanks to their Lawnmower 4.0, trademarked again, the best electric trimmer for below-the-waist grooming. This trimmer offers skin-safe technology designed to trim hair on loose skin. Outside of just ball trimming, they're now focusing their efforts on helping out your thigh slappers in other ways with the game-changing boxers. These boxers' features include the jewel pouch, as I said before, trademarked, so we cannot steal that name. That would be a good nickname, though. A pouch designed to cradle your boys in their own special space, lined with perforated performance fabric to keep them well ventilated. Basically, just imagine your balls sipping pina coladas, Dan, chilling on a hammock on some tropical beach. Are you picturing that?
They asked you. Can't stop picturing it.
Perfect. The micromodal fabric is buttery soft and breathable, keeping your cucumber cool. Walk, run, strut. These moisture-wicking boxers breathe without breaking a sweat. The tagless waistband hugs your body without digging in, and it lays flat against your skin to reduce chafing. The front fly opening gives easy access and makes bathroom breaks quick and efficient. You can choose from an arrangement of designs and colors and sizes, range from small to 3XL. For all of my guys out there, call to action. Here's what you got to do. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code SGP. At manscaped.com, that's 20% off and free shipping with the code SGP at manscaped.com. Once the Boxer 2.0 touched your sack, you'll never go back. We're also brought to you by Athletic Greens and their AG1 supplement. So what is the stuff? With one delicious scoop of VG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole foods, source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens. To help you start your day right, this special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging, all of those things. It costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. AG1 supports better sleep quality and recovery, and Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/SGP. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/SGP to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Okay, we're moving on again to, what are we moving on to next? We're going across the pond, as they say, Dan, to Cage Warriors 138, which is the Saturday, Saturday event, not the inferior Friday one, according to Dan. So this one's Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern on UFC Fight Pass. We're going to break down what? Four fights on here, so you kind of like this card, do you?
I do, and there's two prospects I really like on this card that I'll talk about, but like the, you know, like there's the other two fights that I mentioned and told you to be prepared to talk about are also quite good in terms of just like having exciting lines and people who are of a high level of talent.
Well, let's jump into her. Or shall we? Okay, so like I said, 138. I'm just trying to check where this event is going down. Is it London? Is it Manchester? I'm gonna find out.
This one is happening in Colchester, England.
Colchester, England. Maybe I've heard of it. Never been there. I've never been to England, actually. So there you go. All right. Like I said, I told you I gave you the wrong start time for this, but it looks like 3:30 p.m. Eastern is the actual start time. I originally saw one, but apparently it's 3:30. On Saturday. All right, let's start off with, I think that gangster guy I was speaking of earlier. Yes, I think he just picked this fight because you want me to say this name, Dan. Hercus Lucosinius. I did all right, actually, I think.
Lucosinius
versus Oben Elliott, who is the Welsh gangster. He's also evil, according to his nicknames. All right. Do you actually know Lucosinius? He's had two pro fights, Dan. And you actually know who he is?
First of all, he's had three pro fights.
Yeah, Tapology says three, but my favorite site, SureDog, says two.
Yeah, so they're probably disqualifying one of the ones he had. I'm not quite sure why, but they usually seem to be better. No, I've seen highlight reels of him, but it's mostly just because, you know, like if you combine all three of his pro fights, it's less than a round.
Well, there you go. According to SureDog, he's had two pro fights, one knockout, one submission. Did he finish his other fight too? This mysterious third fight, Dan. Do you know?
So first of all, I do. If Tapology is to be believed. Oh no, he does have a submission. Yep. Yeah. No, he has a body kick and a head kick finish. But also, the reason I know him is not because of his 3-0 MMA record. He's been fighting like K1 kickboxing for like the last 15 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. Like he's a very well-traveled K1 kickboxer.
There you go. I'm going to tell you about him first. Like I said, he could be 2-0, could be 3-0. This is his Cage Warriors debut. He has not fought MMA since October of 2018, I believe, unless that third fight was recently. Do you know if the third fight was more recent than that, Dan?
The most recent fight for our boy Hercus here happened in 2019.
Okay. So he was kickboxing, I assume, in those years where he was not MMAing?
You know, I actually don't think so.
Really?
So, yeah. Like,
he wasn't training UFC?
I think he was trying to get more MMA fights because there's actually, according to Tapology, like a canceled fight or two in between his last fight and now. And like, I haven't seen anything about him in kickboxing in like 5 years or something like that. So like, if you look for kickboxing clips on him, you can find them all like 9 and 8 and 7 years old. So I think he's moved away from kickboxing and just fully committed to MMA.
Okay. Nonetheless, he has not been very active recently. You can get him at +180. As for the Welsh gangster, Elliott, 4-2, two knockouts, two submissions. So everything's a finish. He's been knocked out twice, so he's never gone the distance. He's 4-2 in Cage Warriors, so he's fought on the big stage all of his fights. He's gone loss, win, loss, -220. Maybe Dan has more info than that on this gentleman as well, but that's all I got. Go ahead.
Yeah, so for me, the interesting thing here is that, like, I think Oben Elliott is a little bit erratic. Like sometimes he puts together like pretty decent 1-2 punch combos, but as far as his striking is like kind of a wild man. But at the same time, what we got here is a guy in Hercus Lucasunius who is a K-1 striker and a very good striker, but also like I don't know how he'll react to somebody like wildly trying to get in his face. And I'll also say this, Oban Elliott, good submissions threat. Like if he gets in on your legs, he can take you down. He can sub you. He's got good ground and pound. So like when we have a K-1 guy who we've never seen like pressured by anybody who has any kind of skills and certainly hasn't been pressured by anybody with the pedigree that Oban Elliott has, I just kind of like worry that Hercus Lucasunius is just not going to be able to handle that pressure and handle that those takedowns. So I'm going to go with Oban Elliott here. I think he gets up in his shit like enough to just like not be able to get kicked in the head or, you know, whatever Hercus is trying to do here.
You swerved me. I thought you were headed Hercus and then you took a sharp detour and went the other way. Hercus would be a good name though. If you have another kid, Dan, Hercus perhaps.
Hercus Vreeland?
Yeah.
I'll think about it.
You're supposed to say, I'm never going to have another kid, but oh, there we go. There's a possibility.
You know as well as I do, we don't have any say in the matter, right? Like, my wife wants to have 5 more. I'll have 7 kids by the end of the week.
Oh, Lord. All right. Moving on. Poor Dan. All right. So that was a welterweight fight. Excuse me. I didn't let you all know what weight class these boys are at. This next one is a featherweight. Orlando Wilson Prinz versus Tom Mearns. Mearns. Not Means, Mearns. let me tell
you.
Yeah,
it's like if you have Tim Means, yeah, but exactly. You got him from Wish, it's Tom Mearns.
Yeah, that's true. we have Tim Means at home, it's Tom Mearns. All right. Let's tell you about
hang on, I'm gonna pause you. Yep. Did you know that there's one of those in the CFFC too? We have an Efrain Escudero at home.
Oh yeah, I saw that. Yes.
It's Efrain Escarnero.
that's even wilder because that's like, oh maybe it's a common name for Latin.
It's not even Efrain. It's Efrain.
Yeah, that's right.
Efrain Escarnero.
It's just a little off. It's a little off brand, and that's it. Wild.
I love it.
It's fun. It's fun. What a fun sport. All right, let's tell you about Mearns. I don't like saying Mearns. He's 8-7, 2 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. 3-5 in Cage Warriors. However, he's won 2 straight. He was in Bellator briefly where he went 0-2. You can get him at -110. This one's almost a pick-em on the board. Prinz, 2-0 with 2 submissions. This is his Cage Warriors debut. He's not fought since last May. He used to fight at lightweight. This is at featherweight, -120. Do you know Prinz, who's only had 2 fights? Do you know anything about this guy?
Yeah, I do. In the fights that I've seen from him, so he's noted as being like a Brazilian jiu-jitsu guy, but he's like kind of got like, and I don't have any basis for this, but like I have to assume based on what I've seen, he's got some kind of taekwondo background too. He throws like very taekwondo-esque looking strikes all the time. And ultimately, in this fight, what it comes down to is like, you have Mearns, who is like a much more traveled fighter with 15 fights. You got Prinz, who's only got 3. So he's got 12 more fights than him. And not only is Mearns like the wily veteran, but he's also a guy who's got like more takedowns. But in all the fights I've seen from Mearns, the longer it goes, the more tired he looks. And Prinz is just like a hyper athletic dude. Like he is very, very strong, very fast, very explosive. And like I said, he's got good jiu-jitsu to go along with good taekwondo. So like while he's the less experienced guy here, I still think I like him even at the price you're getting him at. Again, this is another one where I broke down the fight, didn't look at the line, thought Prinz would be an underdog for sure, just based on experience. But I think they probably got the line correct here. It's him being just like ever so slightly a favorite.
So Prinz is the pick, Dan?
I'm going to go with Prinz. Orlando Prinz here is, if nothing else, he's super fun to watch.
There you go. All right. Moving on, we've got a bantamweight fight in the co-main event. Luke Shanks versus Josh Reed. Another name particularly fun. Like all the last names we've been going through. However, fun nicknames though. Shanks is the Apocalypse and Reed is Crazy Horse. Stole a nickname, but I'll allow it. All right. We'll tell you about Crazy Horse Reed first. 12-6, 3 knockouts, 7 submissions. Been knocked out twice, submitted twice. He's 8-6 in Cage Warriors. We have ourselves a pattern. Loss, win. Loss, win. Loss, win. He won his last fight via submission. 3 inches taller than Shanks, plus 175. As for the Apocalypse, Shanks, 9-3, 2 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 5-2 in Cage Warriors. He's another, we got another pattern. A pattern is going to be broken this week, and he's gone loss, win, loss, win. He won via TKO his last fight. He used to fight at flyweight. This is at bantamweight. He's at minus 215. Take it away.
Yeah, I'm going Luke Shanks all day here. The only thing that gives me a slight pause in picking Luke Shanks here is that I don't like he's going up in weight. Like he's been a flyweight for most of his career. In fact, he had like a very exciting fight back in the day with Jake Hadley, the UFC's Jake Hadley.
Broke our heart.
Didn't look as good as we thought he would. So he had a good fight with Jake Hadley. I think he's got tons of skills. He's wild. You know, like I mentioned Obon Elliott being a little bit erratic before. Shanks is 20 times that. He like just absolutely goes nuts in there. I've actually seen that work against Reed too. Like he lost a fight recently to a guy by the name of Dylan Hazen. And Dylan Hazen just like got after it, and it was enough to just like bother Reed. Reed got taken down a bunch of times. My only, you know, like my concern here is Shanks big enough and strong enough and technical enough to get Reed down? He's got the right style to beat him, but like at the same time, having never seen him at bantamweight at a high level, I don't even know if he's ever fought at bantamweight for that matter. Gives me a little bit of hesitation, but like he's a favorite here for a reason. I think even going up in weight, he'll be safe.
No hesitation. You said all day, Dan. We're going to take you on your word all day.
All right. Got it. All day.
Main event time. Middleweights. James Webb versus Leon Aliyu.
I don't know. I don't know anything Aliyu. About Italian.
Is it Aliyu?
Of all the languages I know, so this guy's Italian and Albanian, and I don't know anything about either of those languages. So unfortunately, I can't help you.
You can't call me out then. you can't correct me, so that's good. All right, let's tell you about Aliyu first. He's 9-1, 5 knockouts, 4 submissions, so he's finished all of his opponents. He's never been finished himself. This is Cage Warriors debut. He won his last fight. He's at plus 160. As for Webb, 8-3-1, a knockout, 6 submissions. He's 7-3-1 in Cage Warriors. He's gone 2-2 over his last 4. He got TKO'd his last fight. He's got an inch of height on Aliyu, minus 200.
I'm actually going to take Aliyu here.
All right.
This is my one big dog pick. Like it's a funky breakdown here because Aliyu, he punches really wide in slow isn't the right word, but labored is. And like his striking is not great. But he, you know, like you mentioned, he throws heavy. He finishes dudes all the time. And James Webb is like a very clearly a grapple first guy, a guy who wants to get those takedowns all the time. Aliyu is so strong though. Like if you look at him, you're going to look at him and you're going to be like, my goodness, that dude makes middleweight. That's incredible. Right? Like that's a crazy middleweight. But like, you know, like I think ultimately that Webb is a guy who is going to struggle with a dude like that. So if Aliyu doesn't gas out, and I have no reason to think he would other than the fact that he's a giant ball of muscle, as long as he doesn't gas out, I think he's going to handle Webb's takedown attempts, outstrike him, you know, like put pressure on him the whole time. So, yeah, like I like Aliyu for that reason. And, of course, like I like the number I'm getting here too, right? Like the fact that I'm getting what did you say?
Plus 160.
60. Yeah, like yep. I like that kind of underdog here because, like, you know, he's got a puncher's chance. He might be strong enough. I know he's had to fight catchweight a couple of times, I think probably because he couldn't make middleweight. So, yeah, like I expect him to be the bigger, stronger guy in there and to just stuff the grappler.
Haven't you heard that muscles tire you out, low down in fights?
Man, I know it's an overplayed thing, but it is true about some people, right? Like it's not true all the time, but it is true about Dolce Lugiambula, or it is true again about Thick Willie. Who else could I put in that? William Knight, Dolce Lugiambula. there's a couple other guys who are like,
ask Joe Rogan, who else?
Balls of muscle that just gas out. He used to say it all the time. The one I used to hate was, he used to say it all the time about Sean Sherk.
And yeah, the muscle, you know, shark.
The muscle shark. But Sean Sherk didn't get tired. That dude was a beast.
Yep.
And not, it was probably all the steroids people were taking back then.
There you go. You said it, not me. So Gumby said that. I was just going to say he had some help, but yes.
He popped a couple of times, right? I'm not just making that up, right?
He had some drug test issues. And this is the olden days where you really had to work at it to get caught.
Yeah, you really have to be trying.
Yep. All right, so that's your picks for Cage Warriors. Like I said, maybe the prelims are 1 o'clock and the main show is 3:30, but I saw both times on Tapology. But there are your picks, and Dan's taking you home with a big plus 160 dog for that one. Oh, but there's more picks. We got one more event we're going to cover before we bid you farewell. But first, IP Vanish. Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why I use IP Vanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IP Vanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IP Vanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IP Vanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed, your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without IP Vanish. IP Vanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan. That is incredible. I agree. For our listeners, with a 30-day money-back guarantee, that's just like getting 9 months for free. IP Vanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So go to ipvanish.com/SGP and use promotional code SGP and claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. All right. Finally, as promised, KSW. Not the greatest KSW card, right? But KSW always is fun to watch regardless.
Who doesn't ever want to watch the strongest man in the world?
Exactly. Marius Pujanowski. Numerous strongman awards and wins and titles before he moved into MMA. He's actually like,
he put a real MMA career together.
Yes. Like, I was going to say he started off as a novelty, as most like strongman or people moving bodybuilders do.
Most KSW fighters too.
Exactly, yeah. But no, he's got 24 fights and he's not Bob Sapping it.
And like early in his career too, he fought like a lot of people who you were like, oh God, are you shitting me? Like he fought early in his career, Tim Sylvia, the aforementioned Bob Sapp. He did fight Bob Sapp. He fought Butterbean, which I don't think a lot of people know that he fought fucking Butterbean at one point in time. He fought Sean McCorkle, Big Sexy. Like early in his career, he was a freak show. But since then, he's put together a nice little MMA career. 16-7 and having fought some real dudes in there.
Yep. He has put together a fairly good career. So let's tell you about this fight. It is... like I said, it is on Saturday. You watch it on their site?
I think they have a pay-per-view link on their site.
Okay, gotcha. 1 p.m. Eastern time, going down from Lodz, Poland, in the Atlas Arena. All right, main event, like we said, Pujanowski versus Maturla. Maturla is a middleweight, correct?
He's fought at light heavyweight a few times too. Yes, largely he's a middleweight. If you want to categorize him as one thing, yes.
All right, let's break it down. We're going to tell you about Pujanowski first. Pudzian or Pudzilla, you can call him if you rather. He's 16-7 with 1 no contest, 11 knockouts. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted 4 times. He's gone 16-6 with 1 no contest in KSW. He's won 4 straight fights, all via knockout or TKO. He made his debut way back in 2009. He's got 1 inch of height on Maturla, 2 inches of reach. And based on their last weigh-in, 74 pounds
on Maturla.
Plus 190. You got to think Maturla is going to be bulked up a bit for this fight. He is magic. is his nickname. Sipao is also his nickname. I don't know if that translates to magic or not. I couldn't figure that one out. C-I-P-A-O. Do you know what that means, Dan?
I don't.
Is he Romanian?
No, he's Polish.
Polish, right. I'm sorry. Polish. Okay. Anyhow, 31-8, 11 knockouts, 13 submissions. He's been knocked out 6 times. 20-6 in KSW. He's won 2 straight and 4 of 5. He won via TKO his last fight. As I said before, he normally fights, or most of his fights, or his recent fights have been at middleweight. 2003 was his MMA pro MMA debut. 7 years younger than the Pudzilla, minus 200.
I'm going to go with Materla here, but in like the same way I kind of picked Luke Shanks, like half-assedly, I was like...
Oh, you're making half-ass picks, are you?
Yeah, in this case I am. So Shanks going up to bantamweight like leaves me some questions.
Yeah.
Materla coming up to heavyweight leaves me a lot of questions. Pujanowski's huge, right?
Yeah, like, not a little yeah, heavyweight.
Like, Pujanowski's like a dude who probably walks around at 3 bills. And Materla makes 85 and hasn't always made 85. He's missed weight a couple of times on 85 too. So like, but like, he is so fast, and his power, even at 85, even having cut weight a whole bunch, is incredible. Like, this dude sleeps people. Like, go back and watch him like knock out Husamal Paharis. Like, it is devastating when he knocks out Husamal Paharis. And like, you go back and look at his losses, and they're only to like very, very high level dudes like Roberto Soldic or Scott Askham or Mamed Khalidov. Like, he's only lost to really good dudes, and he sleeps people. So I'm just gonna say he's going like work around the big body size of Maurice Pujanowski. He's going to land his shots when he needs to, and hopefully that's enough for him here. But I will tell you that, if you know, being a betting man here, like, don't bet him at negative 225. That's like an insane number for a dude giving up that much weight. I mean, like, if you can find a prop on Materla by KO, which, by the way, I'm looking at right now, one sports book has it listed at plus 125. I might just play that. Like, he could knock out Pujanowski, and that would be fun to play.
That would be knocking out a guy that much bigger than you would be quite a feat.
He's got the power, though. That's the thing. It's like, he hits so hard.
Any other fights worth watching on this card? I know KSW is always worth watching because the spectacle and everything, they do things right. But any other fights you're jazzed about?
I mean, like, I like watching Daniel Olmealanchuk fight. You guys might remember him from being in the UFC as well, but he'll be fighting this weekend. He's fighting Ricardo Prassel, who is, you know, like a decent Brazilian prospect coming in. He's like one of those Brazilian... I feel like every single Brazilian prospect at heavyweight looks kind of the same now. They all come in at like 6'8" or some shit like that. But like, don't look particularly good other than that. But he's a guy who fought Dontale Mays on Contender Series. So he's got some high level opponents. Obviously that didn't work out for him. He's fought in Ryzen. He's fought for UAE Warriors. Like, he's a pretty good prospect, and, you know, fighting Daniel Olmealanchuk, like, whoever wins that fight is probably pretty close to the heavyweight title picture for KSW, which, you know, nobody listening might be following closely, but Olmealanchuk is a guy who, you know, fought in the UFC, beat Alexei Oleinik, fought Curtis Blaydes, since then has been losing in ACA all the time, but, like, you know, he's a Polish guy, so one good win in KSW's got to have him close to the top.
You got it. All right, so there you go. That's your picks. That's your homework. That's what you have to go and bet on this weekend. Anything else we need to tell people, Dan, before we put this baby to bed?
No, I think you got it all.
We did it. See, even we give you a quality podcast even when there is no UFC to bet on or any other the big. North American League. So we'll be back Sunday. We'll let you know how Dan did with his picks. Who knows what other nonsense we'll get into on Sunday. Maybe, is there any events worth picking next week that may have odds out by Sunday, you think? I know there's events, but I just don't know if we're going to have
probably not odds by then. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
They're slow in getting. They're slow in getting us odds for things like that.
Yeah, we'll find some kind of mischief to get into. If anything you'd like us to discuss, we already talked about open scoring, so we don't need to talk about that anymore. Or anything else like that, you can hit us up, Jeff Fox Writer on Twitter. He's Gumby Vreeland, or get into our SGPN Slack. Actually, do both. And the Fight Channel, you can on there. You can always put a question in there or slide into our DMs, as the children say, and we'll hit up a question topic, anything you'd like us to cover on the next episode. And then UFC will be back next week for us. So no prelim primer this week, I assume, because there's no prelims to prime for Dan to prime you on. Who is going to be on the Top Turtle MMA podcast, Dan's other podcast, this week?
So on the Prelim Primer podcast, I've got, or the, sorry, Top Turtle MMA podcast this week, I've got two interviews with Unified MMA 45 fighters. I'm talking to Eli Aronoff, who is a Israeli prospect who's 5-0, who is fighting Mariusz Kashevich. Yeah, I got it right that time. Kashevich.
Sounds right. And
I interviewed both of them. So
you played both sides, did you?
I interviewed the 10-1 Canadian prospect with only a close loss on Contender Series, and the 5-0 Israeli prospect. And they both talk about that same fight. So you might listen to it and become emotionally invested in a unified MMA fight.
So there is going to be a double knockout then if you interview both of them.
Hey, so you can shit on the people I interview, but who did I interview last week? I interviewed Ugly Man Joe, who picked up a win in 64 seconds, and I interviewed Tabitha Ricci, who absolutely put a beat down on her opponent. So
yeah, I'm not happy about
that. Top Turtle is white hot.
It's white hot. Everyone, if you're a fighter and you're listening, hit Dan up.
And I'm probably going to get another winner this week. So, you know.
There you go. All right. That's all. Oh, obviously, read our stuff, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. And you can read my MMA only stuff over at moneymma.substack.com. I think that's it. Back, like I said, back on Sunday with a recap and whatever nonsense we will get into. Until then, I will remain Jeff Fox, the Pudzilla. And he remains Gumby Vreeland, and we'll talk to you on Sunday. Bye-bye.